So we're going to talk about the Rambam and Hashgacha. There's a lot. Why are we talking about this? I think there's a lot of confusion about the Rambam Shita on Hashgacha, and including myself. There are lots of things I don't know about it, so hopefully we'll be able to learn it together. It's often cited in a way that I don't think is necessarily correct, but we'll have to work together to see if we could understand. Just as a transition from our previous shurim, so we've been talking a lot about the perspective of the Baal Shem Tov regarding Yichud Hashem, Leis Asar Panui Minei. There is no place absent of his. And there's no question that it was, that there's a connection between that Nekuda of the Baal Shem Tov, which we saw especially emphasized in Shai Yichud Ve'emuna, when we learned that over the last couple of weeks, the idea that everything is Elokos, and his also Shita regarding Hashgacha. Now, there's a big part about his Shita on Hashgacha does relate to his position that everything is Elokos. And almost to the point, like we saw, that we can't really understand how we could even possibly exist. So there are no other forces, that everybody would agree there's no other independent forces, but there's not even Teva. That was the Baal Shem Tov's perspective on Yichud Hashem, and that relates to his perspective on Hashgacha. In other words, Hashgacha is absolutely everything. There is no Teva. Everything that seems like Teva is an illusion. So everything is Hashgacha. And the Baal Shem Tov took this in a way that probably goes beyond all the Rishonim. All the Rishonim. There's probably a range within the Rishonim on the nature of Hashgacha. But the Baal Shem Tov said something that there's absolute Hashgacha on everything that happens. Animals, how a leaf falls in that famous story and the like. So that A stems from his position on Yichud Hashem, and B, I think there are no Rishonim that go that far. It's not just me that said that. There's a letter written by the Lubavitcher Rebbe in which he makes that point that no Rishonim went as far as he did. And it raises an interesting question. Why?
I've always wondered how far this goes. Like, we try to touch on everything. Does that mean, like, the grain of the wood inside the wall that no one ever sees?
Yes. So there are different versions of the Baal Shem Tov's theory, but I think the way it's quoted is yes. And the truth is, actually, it's very logical. Whereas, why not? Why shouldn't, you know, if I was running the universe, so I'm going to, I would... I would sort of have to delegate my responsibilities because of my own limitations. I can't do everything. But why wouldn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu control everything? So, of course, there's still Bechira Chashis. In other words, there's Hashgacha on everything but Bechira. But besides that, why wouldn't there be absolute Hashgacha? What's limiting it? Why not? Right? And it's an interesting question. It's a very good question. So I think that perhaps going from our discussions in Yichud Hashem all this time to now discussing Hashgacha is a natural transition. Now, why is it important to study this question? So, there are a number of reasons. It's important to the extent that we could understand, as we talked about in the opening shiur, there's a mitzvah of Yichud Hashem. Yediyas Hashem. We have to try to understand Hashem. The Rambam writes at the end of Mor Nevuchim that understanding the nature of Hashgacha is something that's meant to teach us how to live. Part of Halachta B'drachav is accomplished by looking at Yichud Hashem. We also actually saw that a little bit when we saw in the Baal HaTanya, you talked about the Midah Gvura of Hashem, that the Gvura Hashem is manifested in his holding back, in his being Mitzamtzim himself. And that's something that we have to learn. Ezu Gibor Kov Yishes Yitzra. We learn that from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Kel Mestater. He is tzanua. He hides himself and only reveals himself as necessary. And that's something that we too should learn. So besides, and there might be even more nafkaminas. Let's just start. Our ikkar, you see here, it's a long packet. Most of it, the vast majority, is from Onavuchim. And the Rambam thought Hashgacha was a very important topic. He spent, well over a dozen chapters in Mar Nevuchim discussing the topic of Hashgacha Pratis. We're going to mostly focus on the Mar Nevuchim, but we're going to start with some other passages in the Rambam. But first we're actually going to start from the end of Mar Nevuchim, just to appreciate what's at stake. So this is from the very end, 354. What I got this from, mostly, is I meant to bring a different translation also so we could check things up, but I just got it from Safaria, which is the Ibn Tibbon translation into the Hebrew, and a pretty, Friedlander translation into English. Not necessarily the best translation, but that's what's online and free. But maybe next time I'll try to bring some other translations, especially when there's some degree of ambiguity. Unless you speak Arabic, it is useful to look at multiple translations. Okay. Hosef inyan acher tzarch ma'odvu amro asher hu kotev ha-Torah v'lo b'machsheves ha-horsim shechashvu shashkachasol yis'ala kalsa etzal galgal ha-yarech. So there were people. He's explaining the pasuk in Yirmiyahu. The pasuk says that al yishalo chacham chachmaso va yishalo gibor b'gvoraso va yishalo asher b'ashro ki mizoz yishalo ma'shalal haskel v'yado alsi kani Hashem osachesed stako mishpat ba'aretz. I think he ba'elo chafatz din Hashem. So ba'aretz Hashem is described as osa. Chesed stako mishpat ba'aretz. Ba'aretz. So what's that? That is hashkacha. That's where Hashem does it. So it says the word ba'aretz in this pasuk in Yirmiyahu, because it's a fundamental principle. And the lo machshav saharsim shechashvu shashkachasu yisala kalsa etzal galgal yarech. Not like those harsim, that those destroyers who believe that God's providence ends with the sphere of the Yareach, meaning to say there's no hashkacha in the sublunar realm. For our purposes, what that means is there's no hashkacha in our lives. So these people are called horsim, not like them. B'sha'aretz u'ma sheba ne'azav, azav Hashem esaretz, that's a pasuk from Yechezkel. They say that God has forsaken the land. Einu rak kemo shebi'er lanu al yidei adon kol hachamim. No, Hashem is involved in the world. Yomar shashkachas ogam kein ba'aretz kefi ma'shehi. Kemo shashkiach v'shamayim kefi ma'shehem. Fu amro, ki ani Hashem osa chesed mishpat utztaka ba'aretz. So, again, this is just one point that he's saying, but he's referring here to people who deny hashkacha, and these are very dangerous people, and certainly that's not our belief.
I mean, for those who deny it, like, what is, we say nature abhors a vacuum, but I mean, if there's no hashgacha there, then what's...
Law of nature. Meaning to say, the way, for example, the Aristotelian perspective was that there's God and there's the earth. He believes in the eternity of matter. But lo kar zel zeh. So what governs nature? Nature. And God isn't involved. Now, obviously, if you believe in the Torah, we believe in Hashkacha. Look at the Nisim and this week's Parsha and this week's Parshios. It's not just that. Obviously, the concept of Tefillah takes for granted that there is Hashkacha. Otherwise, why would we pray? Why would we ask Hashem for help? And of course, we ask Hashem for help even in the small things in our life. And Tefillah is a mitzvah. So, clearly, the Torah believes in Hashgacha, and the question then that we're going to primarily be dealing with is, what is the scope of that Hashgacha? So we'll start with a very famous Rambam, which is, I think, particularly relevant right now, as we are indeed Be'ez Tzara. The Rambam in Hilchos Taniyos writes, V'davar zeh midarkei hatshuva hu, Shabizman Shetaval Tsara Vizaku Allah Viyarihu Yedu Hakol Shabiglal Osehem Harayim Horelahem. That there's a mitzvah in the Torah. It's Masam? Yeah, I would think so also. Anyway, there is a, I'll double check. There's a mitzvah in the Torah, Be'ez Tzara, to fast, to blow the shofars, and the like. And why is that? Because when we do that, Za'aka is the mitzvah Be'ez Tzara, tefillah, when we do this, so we'll realize that what the tzara that's happening is because of our ma'asim. And if you do that tshuva, so then the tzara will go away. Aval im lo yizaku v'lo yamiyu. Eliyom davar zeme minag olam iralanu. The tzara zu nikre nikreis. But on the other hand, if you don't respond in that way, but you just say that this is mikre, it's happenstance, it's geopolitics, it's whatever the cause is, it's nature, it's mikre. So then, harezu derech achzarios. This is achzarios. Sarius usually is translated as cruelty. I think I heard once from Rav Tursky that a more correct translation over here would probably mean being insensitive, as we'll see how he uses it elsewhere. In other words, we're not being sensitive to the cause. And what is that cause? The goremes lohem lidabi kumaseem harayim. Instead of doing tshuva, we'll continue in our evil ways, betosis hatzara tzaros acheros, which will cause even more tzaros. Hushikas batorah, balachtam imi bekari, balachti imachem bechamas kari. So these are the psukim in Bechukosai that say that if you do that which is wrong, so God will bring disease and pestilence and enemies and drought and famine and the like. And then it says, if you continue in your ways, balachtam imi bekari, meaning to say don't acknowledge that the source of this is God, and therefore you don't do tshuva. So then, v'halachti imachem b'chamas kari. What does that mean? Kolomar, kishavi aleichem tzara, kidei shetashuvu, im tomru shu kari, osif lachem chamas oso kari. And that's Achzarios. That's, of course, said for the tzibur. The same thing the Rambam says for the yachid. We'll see that in another letter in a moment. And the Rambam probably alludes to this as well, in Hilchos Avelos. Kol mi she'enu mis'aval k'mo she'tivu chachamim harei ze achzari. Al yifache v'yida v'yifashvesh b'maisa v'yachzar b'tshuva. So Avelos isn't just sadness, grief, as a response to a sad event. But the halachos of Avelos are about tshuva. Right? Yifashvesh b'maisa v'yachzar b'tshuva. Just like the tzibur does in a communal tragedy, where they attribute the cause to God, and that causes them to do tshuva, so too, when it comes to personal tragedy, the response has to be tshuva. And likewise, just as he said in Hilchos Tanios, with respect to the tzibur, if you fail to learn that lesson, it's achzarios, so too, if you fail to be mis'avel k'mo she'tzivu chachamim, that is achzarios. So a person is meant to respond to tragedy, to Yisurim, with tshuva. And I think we'll see that whatever approach one takes to Hashgacha Pratis, everybody's going to agree, Yisurim ban liyadcha yifash vesh b'maisav. That's not up for debate. This is just an interesting letter where the Rambam sort of expresses this in his own life. It's a fascinating letter. So this is the Rambam. As we know, he fled from Spain, and it was quite a while, actually. He was really a refugee for close to 20 years. So at one point, they were going to Eretz Yisrael. So he writes that we set out to sea. The year was 4925 since creation, 1161, and there was a storm. A great wave almost drowned us, and the sea was raging. It's very fascinating, by the way. We'll see this in the Manuchim. There are several times where he uses storms at sea as a mashal to discuss hashgacha. So he himself experienced it. He sadly lost his brother in a shipwreck as well. So what did he do? Right? There was a storm. He was at sea. So I took a vow on these two days, I would fast and conduct myself as a full-fledged communal fast, myself and my family and my entire household. And I will instruct my children to do the same until the end of generations, and to give charity in accordance with their ability. My vow included that I would sit in seclusion on the 10th of Iyar. I would not see anybody, but rather I would pray and read all day to myself, just as on that day at sea I found no one but the Holy One, blessed be He. So will I not see anybody or sit with him unless I'm compelled to do so. And on Saturday night, 3rd of Sivan, I safely disembarked and arrived in Accra, and I was saved from persecution, and we reached Eretz Yisrael. That day I vowed to be a day of gladness and joy, feasting and presents for the poor, for me and my family, until the end of all generations. I don't know if anyone who knows themselves to be a descendant of the Rambam who does this, but I'll call upon him, right? How did he respond personally? We don't have that many descriptions of the Rambam and how he himself acted, but here's one of them. So he said that, you know, when he was Beis Tzara, he clearly attributed it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He responds with tefillah and tainis and staka, and likewise Hakar Satov in the same way.
I mean, if you read it, does it seem like Akko is Chutz La'aretz? Mm-hmm. I'm just looking because we arrived in Akko, I was saved, and we reached Eretz Yisrael. I don't know if you got Madaik in the English.
But so you have to check, right? The letter is, this is a translation of the Hebrew, which is a translation of the Arabic, so it's klishlishi.
Yeah.
So,
Eino Mavasho.
Right, exactly. So, why don't you could check? Okay. And I don't know. Okay. This is one more source, really, before we get to Moni Fuchim. This is a letter, the Jews of Marseille. The primary point of this letter is really about astrology and how it's false. But there's something here, a small paragraph that I think is relevant for our discussion. So again, the word keri is being used. We don't believe that the things that happen to us are mikra, are keri, but rather just. In other words, the implication here is that if things were mikra, then there wouldn't be justice. And so, because we believe in divine justice, Atzur Tamim Pa'alo Ki Chol Drachav Mishpat, so therefore, they're not Mikra. Upire Shanavi Va'amar, Asher Einecha Pekuchos, Al Darkei Bnei Adam, Vaseis Le'ish Kedrachav, Uchafri Ma'alolav. Here's another pasuk again from Yirmiyahu.
Who is this?
This is Rambam. This is a Rambam to the letter to the Jews of
Marseille.
To the Jews of Marseille. So everything we're going to do except for some of the Gemaras, everything in here is just Rambam. So the Pasuk says explicitly that there is Hashkacha. Einecha pukuchos, al kol darach ibnei Adam, what laseis l'ish Kidrachav, in other words, Uchapri Ma'alalav, people get what they deserve. So, and again, the implication is that a lack of Hashkacha would be unfair, because if there was no Hashkacha, so things are random. Indeed, they're haphazard. A righteous person can be harmed because they, because of a freak, random occurrence. Valdavarzeh, Hisira Torah, Vidav Amra, in Lo Tishmuli, this is the same interpretation we saw from Hilchos Taniyos, from Parshas Bechukosai, if you don't listen to me, Vavielechem Puranus, the Tomru, Sheosa Puranus, Einan Yisurin Al Chatasecha. So, bad things are going to happen to you. And you're going to say that these are random. They're not punishments. Elakari umeora kishar ameorosh ir ubekari. Just random events. Ani osif. So if you take that approach, ani osif lachem me oso akari. Zeu shekastov and telchom ibekari valachti emachem bechamas kari. Vizuvi ikur dasenu. This idea. So first of all, I want to point out over here, it's very clear that he's applying that drasha not just to the rabbin, which he might have said from Hochos Taniyos, but also to the yachid. And this principle of hashgacha is a fundamental principle in our Torah. Shekol me'oros she'iru ba'olam. Wow. Kol me'oros. All events that happen in the world. L'chol yisurin. She'yavau b'derech mikra. L'chlal b'nei adam. And all Yisurin, that happened. Now, this is an interesting language. How do we translate this exactly? She'avau b'darach mikra. In other words, din u'mishpat heim. So on the one hand, what he's saying is that it is mikra, but it's also din u'mishpat. V'chein amru chach meha emes, Rabbi Hoseinu aleim ha-shalom, ein misa b'lo chet, v'ein yisurin b'lo avo. And thus, Chazal say that there's no misa below chet, not yisurin below avon. People don't suffer without sin. If they did, that would be unjust. And we believe in justice. That's Surah Tamim Pa'olo, Kichod Rachav Mishpat. We have to figure out how to read this line. On the one hand, he says it's kol yisurin shebo b'derech mikra, but on the other hand, it's dinu mishpat. So one thing is clear, though, that whatever happens and whatever approach we take to Hashgacha, it has to be consistent with din u'mishpat, with justice. And that's something we're going to see again and again in Manavuchim. It's quite fascinating, though, that he quotes, for this idea, the Gemara Chazal that says, en misa b'lo chet, en misa b'lo avo. Why is that so strange? Because the Gemara refutes that opinion. The Gemara, there is an opinion in the Gemara that says, ein misa b'lo chet, and it is rejected. Yet the Rambam over here, as well as we'll see in Mar Nebuchadnezzar, quotes this as normative. This is the maskana. But it's not the maskana. There's a tiyufta on this opinion. How so? So let's quickly look at the Gemara that he's quoting, that he's referring to. It's Gemara on Shabbos. Amar Avami, ein misa b'lo chet, ben yisur b'lo avon. Ein misa b'lo chet, tachsiv, hanef shechotas hitamos. Ben lo yisa b'avon ha, v'av lo yisa b'avon ha-ben. Tzidkas ha-tzadik alav tiyah, v'rishas ha-rasha alav tiyah. Ein yisur b'lo avon, d'chsev, uvakadati b'shevet pish'am v'negaim avonam. Meitzei, amu malach yashar s'nei kodesh baruch hu, ribonu shel olam, mipnei ma kanasta misa al adem arisha, amu lahem, mitzvah kala tzivisiv, v'avar ala amu lo, v'alo moshe v'aron, shekimu kala tar kula u'meisu, amu lahem, mikra achad l'tzadik, v'rasha, v'la rasha, v'tov, v'gomer. In other words, it's not true that there's misa b'lo chet, because Moshe and Aaron, why'd they die? And the Gemara's answer is that they died because of the chet of Adam. So that's misa b'lo chet. Who damer ki aitana? No, Rav Ami holds like a different tana, a different perspective. The tanya, Rav Shimon Lazar Omer, af Moshe v'Aaron b'chata mesu. Now there's this taka machlokas tanaim. The first opinion that we cite says that Moshe and Aaron only died because of the chet of Adam. But the second opinion says, no, they died because of their own chataim. Shenemar, yam lo hemantem bi, ha hemantem bi, adayin lo yigiyaz manchem li patem na'olam. So we have machlokas tanaim. Meisvei, arba meisu v'itayu shal nachash. No, but there's another brisa that says explicitly, there are people that died because of the sin of Adam. Moshe and Aaron might have sinned, but there were four people that never sinned. Ve'luhem, ben yamin, ben yakov, amin, ben Moshe, Yishai Avi David, the Kali ben David, Mani, Ilei Matanin Lachay Asharei, Bakamosh V'Aaron. That Tana can't be the opinion that says that Moshe and Aaron died because of the Chet of Adam, because then it should have included Moshe and Aaron in that list. There should have been six. Elav, Rabbi Shimon Elazar. So it must be Rabbi Shimon Elazar that holds that Moshe and Aaron died because of their Chataim.
Doesn't that whole second quote imply, regardless of Moshe and Aaron, that those are people who died below Avon?
Yes, and that's exactly why it's a refutation to Rav Ami.
It doesn't do with Moshe and Aaron. what I'm saying.
No. In other words, there are two. We said before it's machlokas tanai. So now we have to figure out, is this brisa like the Tana that Moshe Aaron died because of chataim, or is the brisa like the opinion that Moshe Aaron died because of nachash, because of Adam? So it can't be like the opinion that they died because of Adam, because then it should list four, it should list six. So it must be like the opinion that says that Moshe Aaron died because of the chataim. And still, even that opinion holds that, yes, Moshe Aaron died because of the chataim, but there are four other people and no chataim. So therefore, it's a tiyuftan rabbani. So, I think we would all agree that in a halachic context, if there's an opinion that we said tiyufta, that we probably wouldn't pass in that way. This relates to the Rambam's position, which he has a number of places in Manvuchim, four places that I know of, where the Rambam basically takes what seems to be the mainstream view in Chazal and says it's a minority opinion and not the opinion we accept. And the question is, what is the Rambam doing? Mechatesi. Where's the other opinion? Where's the Rove? Right? In this case, there's a Tiyukta. And briefly, the answer is that the Rambam thinks that the overwhelming perspective in Chazal, in Chumash, and the like, is against this. So yes, there's this Gemara, but the Gemara reflects a minority opinion. How do we know not that way? Because look at all the psukim that talk about justice. And the Rambam sees this view as rejecting justice, which is impossible. And we'll see how the Rambam does this. But the Rambam is going to argue that this perspective in this Gemara is and cannot be the main perspective. Just another reflection of this, if you take a look at the Meiri, which is bottom footnote 4, bottom of page 3, on this very Gemara that we were just reading, this Gemara from Shabbos. So the Meiri writes, and we'll read where it's bolded. First, he starts off by saying that justice is a fundamental principle of faith. And he writes, where it's bolded, now, there's even though Rav Ami's position is indeed refuted, Ikari Amuna, you can't just prove them from a simple understanding of a Gemara or a Pasuk or the like. The Kvayadata, Shein Meshivin Bagada, that's a line that the Gaonim use a lot. You can't ask a kasha from Agada. Why? Because maybe it's a minority position, maybe it could be understood in a different way, or the like. And this is a very important point. You'll sometimes see people that bring, they build a whole philosophy from a statement in Chazal, or two, or three. And indeed, the simple understanding of those statements do support this philosophy that they built. But what the Miri is saying, and what we see the Rambam doing over here, and the truth is you see it throughout the Mefarshim, is that we know that many times you'll have statements in Chazal, or even Psukim, that seem to contradict each other, that seem to present differing perspectives. And the fact that you could find a Medrash or two, or an Agada, that sounds like what you're saying, that can't be the basis of an Ikar Hadas. And what the Rambam is saying over here is that justice is an Ikar Hadas. Hatzor tamim palo, kichod rachav mishpat, kal amunah ve'enavel, tzadik b'yashar hu. And therefore, yes, it's true that there is a statement over here that sounds to be against that. But you're not going to build a philosophy around that. So, how are you going to deal with it? So we'll have to figure out how to deal with it. And if we can't, so we'll say Tzarchiyan. And that's actually how the Maral explains that statement that the Meiri is quoting of Ein Meshivin Bagada. Maral says, what does that mean? It's in Ber HaGola. Says, some people understand that statement, Ein Meshivin Bagada, as implying that Agada isn't particularly important. It's not decisive the like. He's referring to the Ma'ari Nayim, who said that. He says, no, that's not what it means. But it is true that you can't really ask a kasha on somebody from an agadita, especially if they have an established position, which they can support. Because maybe that's not what it means. Maybe it shouldn't be understood kapshuto, like he said. We can't bring rayas from pshute mekvaos bagados. Maybe it's a machlokas. Maybe there's a deeper understanding and the like. When we're trying to build and understand hashkafas haTorah, we have to seek to understand things broadly. And that's really going to be our voda in this parsha. Like we tried to do with Yichud Hashem, and we're going to try to do over here, which is that we understand that these matters are complex. And I think that anyone who says the Rambam didn't believe in Hashgacha, which I've heard people say, is certainly wrong, as we've seen. Anyone who believes the Rambam said that everything is Hashgacha, I think, is also wrong, as we're going to see quite clearly. Anyone who thinks that they could summarize the Rambam's position in Hashgacha in one or two sentences is probably oversimplifying it to the very to very much. There is the reason why the Rambam has to work so hard on it is because it is complex. And the truth is that when we look at statements in Chazal or Psukim or the like, Kipshutam, we will see contradictory things. Maybe that reflects Machlokas. Maybe that teaches us we shouldn't understand them Kipshutam. We'll have to work on each case on its own. But that's why we have our work cut out for us. But again, like we keep on saying, I think that it's important when studying this sugya that we appreciate that this isn't just a philosophical question, but it's something that should be lemaisa, and it should affect and impact the way we live, at the very least, as we saw from the Rambams in Hilchos Taniyos and Avelos today, that appreciation that the things that happen in our life are hashgacha is something that should inspire us to live life thoughtfully and to do tshuva and to respond to the events that happen to our lives with thought and tshuva and the like. And if we do that, then like the Rambam says, then there'll be no need to be most of Chamas Kari, but Adarabba, we'll learn the lessons that we're meant to learn, and then there'll be no need for these tsaros to happen. Okay. Thank you. Anyone, you could all keep